We've talked the first couple of messages about life choices and things that are important. The first couple we talked about was foundational ones. The ones we talked about last week were authority and His lordship and His word as being the authority that we stand on. And what's really the critical thing as we go through our lives and accepting and acknowledging His lordship. And the other thing we talked about was the Bible as the authority, and talked about with temptation of Jesus by Satan, the three different temptations in Matthew, that He used the Word of God and said, "It is written." And so anyway, we're going to talk to, and those are important. We're going to talk about two today. One is forgiveness, and one is trust. And so, as we think about those things, we're going to, build on a couple more for the next couple weeks and talk about that. But you have some notes in your bulletin. I would encourage you to, take those out and follow through if you would like. God didn't create us with the capacity to carry disappointments. We carry them, but He didn't create us that way. We're talking, we're talking to Sunday school class this morning, and we really weren't talking about this, but something that Jim said, and the question ran through my mind, is, and someone said that, we have a free will and we can make choices, and that's so true. And I was reading a book one day, and someone was talking about Adam and Eve, and said that when they, made that decision, and I say they, to eat from the tree of good and knowledge or life or whatever, I'm not blaming her, whatever you want to call it, that his perspective was that they were trying to become like God so they wouldn't have to ask God everything. Well, it's a different thought. It's a different, it's a different perspective when you take a look at that. It doesn't change history, but, it is a different way to take a look at it. So stuff piles up on us. When I've got a lot more stuff piled up on me than, I had 35 years ago. And I'll probably have stuff piled up on me in the next 5 years unless I can get this forgiveness thing down. And really practice it. But if we're not careful, we have so much stuff that's accumulated in our mind warehouse that we would just love to have a garage sale. And we would just like to get rid of some of that stuff that's there. You ever had a garage sale? Cindy won't help me with one. She has nothing to do with it. And we had one, 5 or 6 years ago, and the next time it's either going to Goodwill, St. Vincent de Paul, or Rumpke. We had this dog collar. When we got Baron, we had him neutered. And so anyway, they give him this dog collar. And I think we give like $20 for this cone. Pretty expensive piece of plastic. And that joker never had it on because he never bothered to stitch it. So we put it in a garage sale. And this lady picks it up and she's going to buy it. And I think I had it on in there for 50 cents. Her husband said, "We don't even have a dog." She says, "Well, we might get one." So, that's what you want to do with Christ. You want to get rid of that junk. And you want to get rid of that stuff that just totally takes up all your mind space. It keeps brewing and it keeps growing and it's there. Forgiveness is what frees us from the pressure and the baggage of relational failure. And I read this week, and I thought it was really good. It says, forgiveness is a solution. It says, we need to become experts at forgiveness in our families. We spend so much time with our families. And I remember there was a time when my mother and her mother were on the outs. And I'm thinking, man, why? If we can't get along with our family, who are we going to get along with? Fortunately, they got it rectified and everything, but it was like, man, that just blew my mind, because I didn't think you got upset with your mother. She got upset with me, but I didn't get upset with her. We need to be experts at forgiveness at church. That sometimes is a tough one, But nothing is so big that causes dissension. I grew up in a church that split because one church wanted to build a new one and another one wanted to stay in the old rickety building they were in. Well, they needed to do something. So what'd they do? They built two churches. That's not the right thing to do. We need to be experts in forgiveness in our neighborhoods. There's a guy, not next door to us, but two houses down, that the police are there once a week, maybe, because their kids are arguing, and one of them threatened to kill his brother one day. And I'm thinking, that really kind of brought the neighborhood down. But then I was reminded by Wayne, when we move, the neighborhood will improve. So, you've got different ways of looking at things, but we need to be experts at forgiveness in our neighborhoods. And we need to be experts at forgiveness in our jobs. If we work, we need to be experts at forgiveness in that. And sometimes if you've been wrong, that's a tough thing. And I've been there. I've been on both sides of it. I've had to terminate people. I've never been terminated, but I had to terminate people. But I've been in places where I had someone lie on my performance review to make themselves look good. I elevated. Nobody would do anything about it. So I thought, I don't need this stuff. I'm going to retire. So fortunately, I could. Not everybody can do that. But do I hold that against that person? No, I don't. And I've gotten over that. But we need to become experts at forgiveness at that. So the first thing we need to take a look at is we need to learn for me. They would not let me use the DVD when I did grief share classes because they told me I could not, I wasn't, functionally literate. So we talked about these three things each week. And it's just as a reminder that when we have choices, we have to acknowledge the choice. I've got to make a decision. I may not like it, but I've got to make a decision. Then the second thing is I got to consider the decision. I got to consider the options. What are my choices? Do I want to go this way? Do I want to go that way? Do I want to choose right? Do I want to choose wrong? I challenged a group the other night of give me, it was interesting, five things that we're doing right. Or no, all the things. I think it was all the things, wasn't it? Tell me what we're doing right around here. And then my next point was going to be, tell me what we're not doing quite right. And somebody had to erase it because I think they had wrong down. Or tell me what we're not doing right or something. But it was, what are we doing almost right? And so we have to make choices when we sit down and look at what's our vision for the, for this place. Where do we want to do? Where do we want to go? And so we're taking a look at that. And I'm excited about it because I think we are going to lay out a vision here in a few weeks. And I'm not sure if we're going to do it. Hopefully we will do it by the end of the year, or it may be the last message of the year, which is entitled Beginning of a New Era. That's the only one. No, it's not really. I was going to tell you it's the only one I got between here and there, but that's really not true. But, we're going to talk about what's our vision. Where do we want to go? How are we going to go about doing it? And I tell you, I think there's some people are excited about that, other than me. Jesus, so the first thing we need to do is we got to choose to forgive. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:14-15. And we just prayed it. Jesus, he said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So what happens is it becomes very serious stuff to forgive. He doesn't give us much choice. It's not, maybe I'll forgive something and maybe I won't forgive something else. That's not the choice he gave us. It's you got to forgive everything. And man, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult to do that. But we don't have a choice. The word forgiveness is used 144 times in the New Testament. Must be important if it's going to be used that much. And what forgiveness means is to release a person from an obligation. And that's really what it means. When we look back at what the scripture lesson today, is the first master was willing to forgive the servant of his $1 million. But if I'm not mistaken, I think 100 denarii was almost like $100 or something like that, or, you know. And so anyway, you look at that and you think, wow, you know, that's pretty huge, you know, when you look at the difference. But yet he's not willing to do that. So what he's saying is that when we forgive others, he is freeing us from the weight of unforgiveness. And that's what happens when we forgive people. We no longer have that weight. It's some of that garage sale junk stuff that you got in your mind that you can get rid of and you can move on. But the only way to do that is let the love of Jesus flow through you. And not just flow and stop. But it's got to go through us. Forgiveness is a choice. It's an act of free will. It's a decision that we make. And we do have to make that decision. When someone hurts us, it takes something away from us. Someone steals something. I lost my wallet about 3 weeks ago. You know, and somebody could have taken it. I don't know where, you know, I'm assuming I lost it, you know, I think. But nobody used anything, but somebody could have used a debit card or something, you know, and gotten, you know, gas and hit credit and wouldn't have been a big deal. And I probably would have been upset. But, you know, fortunately we were able to get everything stopped and, you know, and nothing happened. But when someone steals something intangible from you, takes something intangible from you like a marriage, emotional things are harder to deal with than tangible things, because you can replace tangible things. It's hard to replace relationships. It's very difficult to replace relationships and replace that. So we have a choice with a debt. We can either hold it against someone or we can forget it. And it does become a choice. There are multiple ways and kinds of things that have hurt us in our lives, hurt us through the years. I've had them. You've had them. The task is to forgive. But sometimes that task becomes very immense. But if you don't forgive them, then what grows? Unforgiveness. And what unforgiveness grows into is bitterness. And what bitterness grows into is hatred. And it may be a small thing. I was telling someone today, I was going the other day through town and someone cut me off. And I just honked at them, just not because I didn't. They cut in real short. And she waved an obscene gesture out the window and, you know, and went on, you know. So it's like, I could get upset about that, you know, and not like it and be unhappy. Or I can just forget about it, you know. And it's like, she's lucky I probably wasn't somebody who was interested in road rage. But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens when, you know, when those type of things happen. And so it's just better off just to let it go, forget about it, and move on. So forgiveness happens in a moment of crisis and continues in a process. The crisis, the first step is to see that sin is unforgiveness. So we choose to forgive. The first step in that whole process is realizing that unforgiveness is sin. It's something that we're holding on to. And it's not going to help us any. It's not going to get us any further down the road. So we make a decision. I choose to forgive. I will not hold on to it. I'll not review it. Now, I know I give you the illustration of the woman today. I'm not reviewing it. That's just for no purpose of illustration. Because she may have cut somebody else off by now. But, you know, I mean, those are things that we take a look at. So I choose to forgive. That's the crisis, realizing that sin, that unforgiveness is a sin. The second thing is the process. And the process is, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going to move on. But a lot of people have difficulty forgiving. Part of the reason is they think they were hurt. It was too big. The hurt was too big that I can't let go of it. And I'll tell you, the bigger the hurt, the harder it is to give up. It really is. It's very difficult to give up when it's that. But it's not going to shrink by doing nothing. And the Bible teaches us about if someone's done you wrong, what do? You go to them. You talk to them. You try to resolve it. You try to get it fixed. If that doesn't work, then you take some people from the church. You try that process. Time will not heal it. I've told people over and over again, and during, if you go through, you know, and do divorce care, facilitate those groups or grief share groups, time will not heal. Time heals nothing. It helps you deal with it, you know, as you go on. And I deal with my son's death, and I deal with things in my life a lot easier today than I did 20 years ago. But time didn't heal that. And it doesn't happen. What healed it was faith. And believing. That's what healed it. Back to Jim's Sunday school class we did today. But that's what it's about. It's running to God, not running from God. Because too often we blame God for things. It was a good conversation today because we talk about those things of people blaming God for things that have happened. It ain't God's fault. Sovereign God's a sovereign God, and He permits Satan to do things on this earth. But we can't blame God for everything that happens. Don't wait for someone that's harmed you to come to you and say, "Wes, I'm sorry." Not going to happen. Most people that harmed you really don't care. And they're fine with it. They're okay. Life's good. They're moving on. And the only ones being bothered is me, because I'm the one that's been offended. Forgive, then forget. You can't forgive someone, you can't forget something until you forgive them. It says in Genesis 41:51, Jesus named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." My other brother went through a difficult situation. I've shared a little bit. But he kept saying, "I can't forgive." And I said, forgiveness is an everyday process. And it could be a dozen times a day or more. I said, you've got to say, and you've got to mention that name and say, "Whomever it was, I forgive you." And he said, "That's hard." And I said, "Yes, it is. If it was easy, it would already been gone. But it's not. That's part of that decision. That's part of that choice. It's part of not bringing it back up again. What happens if it comes back again? Go back to the process. I go back and realize that unforgiveness is a sin. And I realize I'm not going to bring it up again. And that's how we do it. So we got to give away forgiveness. It says in Ephesians 4:31 and 32, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." So unforgiveness is the opposite of what God wants for us. There's always those opposites in the Bible. You know, I mean, He wants us to have life, so people through their free will choose death. And that's a choice. There is a choice of forgiveness, and there are those choices that we need to make. The second thing is, along with forgiveness, is that's forgetting beyond what's behind us. But what about the future? I choose to trust. Matthew 6:34 says, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have its own worries." Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? The troubles we have in a day are enough for a day. And that's pretty, I mean, you hear that kind of thing, wow. But if God doesn't want us to deal with the past, He certainly doesn't want us to deal with the future. If He wants us to forgive, then He wants us to trust. Sometimes it's as difficult as forgiving. That's not what His plan is, but sometimes it's that difficult. Too many concerns if we do not lay it before God that we have to deal with. Number one, worry. How many people worry about things? No show of hands. Thank you. But people do worry. And what does that change? Nothing. But Hey, huh? I'm the same way. There's things that, you know, I mean, I don't worry about us growing, but I'm concerned about each and every person here. You know, and some people say, well, concerns worry. No, it's not. It's a bigger word. But God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to put our trust in Him. That strangles us from joy. It strangles us from blessings. It strangles us from freedom of being able to really live and enjoy life. That's the next thing. Got worry. We got fear. It says in 1 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear blows things out of the water bigger than they ever are. When we're afraid of something or we fear something. And usually fear, in some cases, will precede worry. Because we fear something, and so what are we going to do? We're going to worry about it. And that's going to, you know, that's just going to keep us in a constant uproar. And then what's that lead to? Anxiety. And those are all things that God wants to free us from. And one of the things I saw this week as I was looking at this is, how many drugstores do you see on corners? I've seen corners where you got a Rite Aid, a CVS, and a Walgreens all on the corner, and that's how people spell relief. The drugstore. But God wants us to be free from that stuff. I can't control the future. I can't control, you know, how many more hairs are falling out of the back of my head. I always said I'm okay if it's gray, if it doesn't fall out. Well, it's falling out. And I'm not going to do about that. So fear focuses on what we cannot control. Worry keeps us from doing what makes us have a better future. And that's not what God wants. God wants our very best. So worry chokes the very life out of us. I can't control it. We make good choices. People think, well, I'm going to have a heart attack. Okay. I'm not choosing that. Eat right. Which I don't. Exercise. Which I don't. Jim did tell me today that he traded his chocolate Danish for a bowl of oatmeal. Poor guy. The apple fritter this morning was no. But we can eat right. We can make right kinds of choices. We can make right kind of decisions that will help us. We can get rest. That helps us. We can do those kind of things. I can't control my family's future. You're right. Can't control my spouse. Don't look at her. Can't control our kids. Kids make decisions. They make choices. They have a free will. Hopefully, we train them to make good decisions. And fortunately, we're there. And, you know, and hopefully we stay there. But kids have a choice. And kids make a choice. We can pray for them. We can ask them to forgive us. We do something wrong. We can ask them to forgive us. We can serve them. We can serve our kids. Do things for them. Do things with them. I mean, how often do you think, as Wayne calls him, Hank, gets served here? Every day. He gets served every day. And that, you know, and they learn that and they love that. And that's what creates that relationship with him. I can't control my finances. I can't control the stock market. I can prepare myself to be a better steward of my finances. I can improve myself so that, you know, I can maybe get a better job, or I can do something different, or I can get a promotion. I can do that. But I can't control the stock market. I can be a good employee. I can expand my ability. I can do things that will improve that situation. But I really can't control the future, and I really can't control my finances. I can't control my church. I looked at it, when I saw that, there's some examples this week, I thought, whoa, church isn't perfect. Somebody once said, you know why? Made up of people. You know, and the thing is that we want to come together, we want to worship, we want to fellowship, we want to make this the absolute best place in Ross that people will come. We want to be outgoing. I had a lady talk to Cindy, looking for a place for their youth group to meet on a Sunday evening. Didn't have it, you know, I mean, where they were at, charging them an arm and a leg, and she called me. And she said, well, do you have space? And I said, I think we probably do. You know, so we were talking about, you know, money and everything, yeah, and, you know, and what we would rent it for. And I'm going to call her back tomorrow and pester her because I want an answer. I want her to say yes, because I think we ought to open up the building for, you know, for people, you know. So, Bud mentioned the scouts, you know, and I think this would be a pretty cool thing that, you know, if we could do it. And we become friends with the community. Not that we're not, but, you know, I mean, that people really understand that people at Ross love you. And I tell you, when people walk in the door, I mean, it's radical hospitality. I want to get more people walking in the door. And I think we will. I'm pretty confident we will. I was sharing with somebody today. I went down and met the police chief in Ross this week. And we were talking about, you know, some different things. And said something to him about church. He said, I made that decision years ago. Sharp-looking young guy, you know, reminded me of myself about 10, 15 years ago. Thanks, Cindy. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he said, I made that decision years ago. But he said, you need to talk to him. And his deputy's sitting back there. And so I walked back and was talking to him. And we're kind of, you know, laughing a little bit and having some fun. And I had a pair of pink shorts on and a Harley Davidson t-shirt. And he looked at me and he said, you're a minister? I said, it's about the best it gets, you know. But, that's kind of how, I think that's what people are, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that that's watered down the gospel. We're standing there talking. And he said, you're enjoying talking to me. I said, I am enjoying talking to you. And I told him, and I said, we need to get a cup of coffee sometime and just talk, you know, because those guys like coffee. And what else? And donuts. And so anyway, you know, but we're talking, and I told him, I said, there's two things I want to say to you. And he says, what's that? And I said, number one, you and I are going to have a cup of coffee, and we're going to sit down and talk. And he said, what's the other one? I said, I'm going to see you in church. And he smiled, and he said, well, it's never too late. And I said, it is when you take that last breath. It's too late. But that's all what trust is. It's trusting God, like when you talk to somebody about that. You know, and I told him, I said, the gospel's fun. It's fun to stand here and talk to you. And it was a good time. And we had a really good time. So, you know, hopefully that, you know, it all works out and everything, you know, and we'll see him here. But I'm pretty confident that, you know, that we will. So we can avoid, some things in our life, but there are some storms that we can't avoid. There are some things that we can't avoid. But when we face the fact that the faith fact goes with us, and our faith in God goes with us, then it makes it so much easier to do it. So there, choose to trust God. Isaiah 40:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will give you strength, and for sure I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up in my right hand. Yes, I will hold you up with my right hand, and that is my right and good. It goes on to say, see, all those who are angry with you will be put to shame and trouble. Those who fight against you will be as nothing and will be lost. You will look for those who argue with you, but you will not find them. Those who war against you will be nothing, as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand and who says, do not be afraid. I will be with you. So we got to forgive and get rid of all that old garbage and have that mental garage sale. And then when we get it sold out and you get rid of the dog collars and everything, then don't fill it up with what's tomorrow. Because that's what fear is. And fear of tomorrow is what destroys you. And it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. We're going to sing a song that I'm sure everyone is familiar with. I think it's Standing on the Promises. And if you have any prayers or any concern that you would like for us to pray with you about while we sing this, please feel free to come up. If it's healing, or, you know, God's been speaking to your heart about, I need to walk a little bit closer with you, feel free to come up and let's get it resolved so you can go out of here forgiving and trusting. That's exciting stuff, I think.